This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
He's the greatest, the one and only glory to him. He born in humans to be the best and give his best to religion too.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to another live edition of Gardens of the Pious. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى لا سيما المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Today's episode, my dear viewers, is number 750 in the series of Gardens of the Pious, which is compiled by Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi, may Allah have mercy on him. And today's episode will be a continuation of what we started in the last episode, in the chapter of 372, Babu Bayanu ma a'adda Allahu ta'ala lil mu'minina fil jannah, the bounties which Allah the Almighty has prepared for the believers in paradise. May Allah make us among them. Last episode, we spoke about the verses of Surah Az-Zukhruf, chapter number 43, verses 68 through 73. And I shed some light on the difference between Yutafu and Yatufu. Yutafu alayhim and wa yatufu alayhim wuldanun mukhalladun. And also Ghilmanun in Surah At-Tur. So, the Almighty Allah is talking about the servants who will be as beautiful as scattered pearl. Mukhalladun, they live eternal, they don't die. They're all youth, looking beautiful, serving the dwellers of Jannah. The Almighty Allah will create them only for this purpose, to be servants for the people of paradise. May Allah make us among them. And sometimes the Almighty Allah will use the passive form, okay, instead of the active. So he would not mention the subject, rather would mention that it will be circulated among them. You know, the drinks will be served. Who will serve them is explained in Surah Al-Insan as well as in Surah At-Tur. In Surah Al-Insan, وَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وُلْدَانٌ, while in Surah At-Tur, غِلْمَانٌ. Here, in Surah Al-Zukhruf, the Almighty Allah says, يُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِصِحَافٍ مِّن ذَهَبٍ وَأَكْوَابٍ وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنُ وَأَنْتُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. So the trays and utensils of gold and cups, which will be passed among them, round them, and therein all that the ones inner selves could desire. Whatever Ahlul Jannah would desire, would dream of, would think about, will be served. وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنُ, and whatever pleases their eyes and will make their eyes delighted. And then وَأَنْتُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. The Almighty Allah assured the believers that once you set your foot in paradise, you'll abide therein eternally, and you will never come out of it, and you will never be deprived out of it, and you will never vanish. Then he says, Azza wa Jalla, وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And that is heaven, that is paradise, which you have been made to inherit because of your deeds, because of your good deeds. Then I would like to comment on this part of the ayah. بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Multiple times in the Quran, the Almighty Allah have mentioned that the dwellers of paradise earned Jannah through doing good deeds. بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. So the Almighty Allah says, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. You know, in Surah Sajda, Allah the Almighty said, as a result of their sides forsaking their beds, they standing up in prayer at night, and they give in charity, they're very generous. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. No soul knows nor comprehends what Allah has been preparing for them and He concealed. No one has seen it yet. Of comfort and delight for their eyes. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. As a reward for what they used to do. What they used to do of what? Of good. Because the previous ayat said, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدُعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Their sides forsake their beds. And they are invoking the Lord out of خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. The two wings of any bird. The two wings for a believer with which he can function like the wings of a bird. خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Out of fear and hope. وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. So قيام الليل, تهجد, prayer at night, invoking Allah out of hope and fear, and giving in charity and being generous to people. Then the Almighty Allah said, as a reward for that, and as a result of their doing good deeds, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. A reward for what they used to do. So, why do we keep saying that in the sound hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَدْخُلُ أَحَدُنِ الْجَنَّةَ بِعَمَلِهِ. In another narration, لَنْ يُدْخِلَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَمَلُهُ. And the meaning of these different narrations that no one whatsoever will simply enter paradise because their good deeds are enough to make them eligible. Rather, it's only through Allah's mercy. No matter how much good deeds you do, they are not enough to enable you to enter paradise. And when the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, asked the Prophet ﷺ, even you, is what you said something that applies to all people, including you? He said, even me, unless if Allah were to cover me with His mercy. Alhamdulillah. So we understand from that, it is only through Allah's mercy you enter Jannah, not through our good deeds. So what do you say when Allah the Almighty says, وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. That is paradise which you inherited, which you've been rewarded with, because of what you used to do of good. And فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. The meaning, and how do you reconcile between the ayat and the hadith? The ayat which keep talking about you will enter al-Jannah because of the good that you used to do, and the hadith which says no one shall enter al-Jannah simply because of their good deeds, rather only by Allah's mercy. The meaning of that, when Allah the Almighty loves one of His servants, so He will facilitate for him or her the love of doing good deeds. And He will make it easy for them to stand up in prayer, to lower their gaze, to give in a charity, to do what is good. إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا إِسْتَعْمَلَهُ. The hadith which is collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. When Allah the Almighty loves any of His servants, He will make them do what is good. Will make them things that He would love and appreciate, then he will die in this condition. Okay. So in the first place, it is Allah the Almighty who inspired them to do what is good. Number two, even though whatever you do of what is good is not sufficient to give thanks for any of Allah's blessings, for any of Allah's countless blessings, Allah the Almighty is happy with the little bit that you do, as long as you do to sincerity, and as long as this is how much you can afford. So He will augment it. يعني augment its reward for you. You know, you remember in the hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whenever any of you would give in charity, even if it is a half day, then the Almighty Allah will accept it in His own hand. ثم يربيها لأحدكم كما يربي أحدكم فلوه. Then the Almighty Allah will keep growing the reward for this simple charity, half date. Similar to the farmer or the horseman who is growing the baby horse until it becomes a grown-up horse capable to race on the racetrack. But in the case of Allah will grow the reward for this simple charity until it becomes as huge as the mountain of Uhud. So the charity itself was very little and insignificant. But the reward for it was so much augmented by the Almighty Allah. So who inspired you and facilitated for you to do what is good? Allah in the first place. Then who accepted it from you even though it is little and it's not sufficient? Only Allah. And who rewarded for it even though the reward will be simple, but the Almighty Allah kept growing up the reward and augmenting the reward until it became as huge as the mountain of Uhud, Allah. Then what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said was absolutely correct. None of you shall enter Jannah simply because of your good deeds, because of your achievement. Rather, it is because of Allah's mercy. Somebody was working hard. Sometimes when we test the students for their final exam, I come across one of the students, he or she, and they did terrible in their finals. Terrible. So I'm supposed to fail him or her. But wait a minute. I go through my record and my notes. I take notes throughout the scholastic year. Amina Khan, Abid Sayyid, whatever. I take notes. I look into my notes. This guy attended all the sessions. I even gave them bonus points. They were doing very well. So what happened? When you communicate with them, you find out, well, my dad is having cancer. My wife was giving birth. Because, you know, they are in their professions as well. So I do not hesitate to give him what I think that they deserve. Even though they failed in the final exam. But I upgrade their grades. And sometimes I give them a full mark. Because of me knowing that this student is good. But he didn't do well in the final. Something went wrong. So he didn't catch up. I actually give him enough points in order to make them not just pass, but rather get an A+ or sometimes a full mark. This is in our worldly dunya, which is very small. Don't you think that Allah the Almighty, who is أَلَّا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. So he knows that somebody, all what he did was, there was a branch of a tree obstructing the path of people. So he got off the back of his ride and he said, let me remove it. It must be harming people. It must be preventing people from passing the road. He made an effort. Some people, they will just cut a corner, go around it and go. But at night, somebody might get toppled or fall on his face because of that. So the person thought not of himself, of others. So he removed it. فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. So the Almighty Allah thanked him. You mean the Almighty Allah is paying attention to somebody who was walking somewhere and he found a branch fell of a tree and he got off the back of his ride. He disembarked and he decided to remove it for the sake of Allah. Yeah. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. And that takes us back to the fact that how would Allah comprehend all of these events all at once? Yeah. A man asked Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, Amir al-Mu'mineen. A similar question. You can answer your servants similar questions with the same answer. On the Day of Judgment, the Almighty Allah said, وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْؤُولُونَ. Stand them up. Stop right there. Everybody pause. Why? All of you will be questioned. Who will question them? Allah. And who will verify their answers, whether they're true or fake? Allah. And how many people will be standing Yawm al-Hashr on the Day of Gathering? Can you say billions? We're already over 8 billion human beings right now. So since Allah created Adam till the end of time, Only Allah knows how many gazillions of people. But all of them will be asked, will be questioned, will be judged, will be recompensed simultaneously. Not in order, not one after another. So this guy asked Ali ibn Abi Talib, how would Allah do all of that with this magnitude of people? How would Allah talk to everyone at once and account and recon all of them at once, recompense all of them at once? So Ali ibn Abi Talib was one of the smartest people ever. And his answers would be out of the box. He said, as he provide for them, ala kathrati adadihim. Same way that he provides, gives the food, the drink, the cure, the help, answer their du'as, all of them at the same moment, simultaneously. Somebody in India is starving, somebody in the States is having cancer, somebody in Russia is stuck at the airport, everyone is raising their hands, oh my God, help me. Okay, so he helps this and delivers to that, and all at once, the food, the drink, the health, the cure, all of that at once, and it doesn't fatigue him? No, it doesn't fatigue him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do all of that, and then he knows best who is eligible to be promoted, and who is eligible to have mercy on, who is eligible to accept the intercession of others for them, and so on. That is the meaning of bima kuntum ta'amaloon. لَكُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ كَثِيرَةٌ مِّنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ لَكُمْ for you, for أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ in it, in paradise. Plenty of fruits. You're going to do with what? Eat as much as you desire. Oh, watch for the blood sugar level. Watch for the cholesterol. Oh, the triglycerides. You've been eating too much mangoes. None of that. No fear of the blood sugar level. No fear of blood pressure. No fear of any disease. Because Ahlul Jannah, they never get sick. They never get tired. They never get fatigued. They never experience any worry or they get weary. مِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ May Allah make us among them. In Surah Dukhan, is chapter number 44. We have also some verses in Surah Dukhan delivering glad tidings to the believers who will enter paradise. May Allah make us among them. So verses from 51 through 57. Allah the Almighty says in them, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إن المتقين في مقام أمين في جنات وعيون يلبسون من سندس وإستبرق متقابلين كذلك وزوجناهم بحور عين يدعون فيها بكل فاكهة آمنين لا يذوقون فيها الموت إلا الموتة الأولى ووقاهم عذاب الجحيم فضلا من ربك ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. Remember the last segment. فضلا من ربك. This is a bounty from your Lord. This is out of His generosity. Not necessarily because he deserved it. So what is it? What is Allah talking about? Allah the Almighty is talking about al-abrar, the pious, or the righteous ones. He says, indeed, the pious ones will be in delight, in joy, in happiness, in pleasure, in Jannah, na'im, will be in place of security, آمنين. على الأرائك ينظرون. في مقام أمين في جنات وعيون. They will be among gardens and water springs like Tasneem, like Salsabil. And they will be dressed in fine silk and thick silk fabrics, two different types, sundus and istabrak, the thin and the thick. Mutaqabilin, last episode we spoke about it, which means they will be facing one another. No one will get to see the back of others. So it will be, and we shall marry them to Al-Hurul Een, female fair ones, beautiful women, whom Allah the Almighty will create and make them spouses for Ahlul Jannah. No one have ever touched them before. So what do women get? Every woman of the women of the dunya will also marry her latest husband in the dunya if he was a believer. Otherwise, Allah the Almighty will make them marry men of their choices of the pious people who will enter Al-Jannah. And both of them will be more beautiful than the Hurul Een and than the angels who are serving them. So none of those beautiful Hur will be prettier than you, sister, when you enter Jannah. You will be the queen of all. يَدْعُونَ فِيهَا بِكُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ آمِنِينَ They will call therein for every kind of fruit in peace and security. You don't have to say, oh Allah, I would love to eat figs or apricot. It just crosses your mind. Then the tree which carries the fruit, the branch will be lowered to your mouth so you can eat it right from there. يَدْعُونَ فِيهَا بِكُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ آمِنِينَ Because you don't have to pay for it anymore. You don't have to go shopping. You don't have to worry about it. Subhanallah. And then Allah the Almighty says, لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا الْمَوْتِ There is no death in Jannah. In the previous ayat, we said, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا They abide eternally therein. Likewise here, لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا الْمَوْتَ يعني they will never taste death therein except the first death which we have experienced already in the dunya. And وَوَقَاهُمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ وَقَاهُمْ The Almighty Allah has protected them against the torment of hell, of the blazing fire, as a bounty from your Lord. That will be the supreme success. That is the ultimate success. May Allah make us among them. So the word فَضْلًا مِّن رَبِّكْ explains what was mentioned in the previous ayat, بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ As a reward for what they used to do. No, as a matter of fact, Allah accepted what he used to do even though he was little, and he augmented the reward for it out of bounty from him. And then we have the final reference in the chapter which discusses the delight which Allah the Almighty has prepared for the people of paradise as a bounty from him. The final reference is of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, which is chapter number 83, verses from 22 through 28. So let's read the verses together, then learn their meaning, inshallah. And everyone knows what we're talking about in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, especially when it comes to وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِيمٍ and when it comes to وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ Let the competitors compete in this regard. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إن الأبرار لفي نعيم على الأرائك ينظرون تعرف في وجوههم نضرة النعيم يسقون من رحيق مختوم ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون ومزاجه من تسنيم عينا يشرب بها المقربون In these beautiful verses, the Almighty Allah delivers the glad tiding to Al-Abrar, the pious and the righteous ones. May he make us among them. What does it say? Indeed, the pious ones will be in delight in the gardens of paradise. ينظرون, on their couches, reclining. Looking at what? Looking at the beauty of Jannah. Looking at each other, facing each other. And looking at what? Looking at the greatest sight ever. Looking at the Almighty Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. وجوه يومئذ ناظرة. Some faces will be bright, beautiful, shining with nur. Why? Because they will be reflecting the nur of Allah. إلى ربها ناظرة. They will be looking at the Almighty Allah. And this is what Allah the Almighty said, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةَ لَهُمَّ يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيِّدٌ. So this is the extra reward. When the Almighty Allah would look at the people of Jannah and said, my servants, are you happy? So of course we're happy. Do you need anything else? They said, what else? What more could we ask for? You saved us. You forgive us our sins. You bestowed your mercy upon us. And you admitted us into your mercy, into your Jannah. What else could we do? What else could we want? So the Almighty Allah would remove the hijab, and then they will get to lay their eyes upon Allah, or whatever He would allow them to look at of Him. وَرُوهُنْ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةً. This nadra, this brightness on their faces, because they will be إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةً. They will be looking at the Lord. Allahu Akbar. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ. After he said, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ, when you look at their faces, you could see the look of delight, of joy, of happiness, of light shining from their face. يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. And they will be made to drink of wine from Jannah, which will be sealed with the smell of the musk. You know, the wine and the beer of the dunya, all intoxicants, smell awful. Every time, somebody would say, how do you know? Whenever I fly, and I fly a lot, so sometimes the passengers next to me, they order wine. And when they drink, it smells like somebody just opened the bathroom door. It smells like bathroom. It smells awful. And I'm offended. And I cover my nose because it smells really rotten, bad. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُسْقَوْنَا بِالرَّحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. The khamr, the wine of Jannah is different. It tastes good. And the smell is like the musk, sealed up with musk. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Concerning this delight, concerning this joy, concerning this amazing reward which the Almighty Allah has prepared for the dwellers of Jannah, let the competitors compete. We know that Allah the Almighty only ordained upon us 5 daily prayers. Yeah, some people will just offer the 5 daily prayers, no problem. But others want to compete because they want to be in a higher level in Jannah. Let them compete. Let the competitors compete. Pray the emphatic and non-emphatic sunnah before and after the prayers. Pray duha, pray tahajjud, pray night prayer, pray witr. Make lots of dua. That will promote you to a higher level. That will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the meaning of وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. So this address and this encouragement is for the people in dunya. Because once you settle in Jannah, there is no competition. Because there is no worship anymore, similar to our worship in the dunya. Do you think that the person, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ, shall we treat Muslims like the criminals, or treat the criminals like Muslims, the wicked like the righteous? Of course not. Somebody who made an effort to get up at night and made wudu and prayed until it is fajr. Then he went to pray fajr in jama'ah in the masjid and recited his adhkar. While there is another person who is sleepyhead, woke up right before sunrise or even after sunrise and he didn't mind. Shall they be treated the same? Of course not. So the Almighty Allah says to the righteous, to Al-Abrar, whom he addressed in the beginning, compete, because Al-Jannah has so many levels. Do not settle for the bottom level. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ Let those who strive harder and compete among each other in order to come closer to Allah, to be promoted to higher levels in Jannah. And concerning that wine which they will be made to drink, it will be mixed with tasneem وَمِزَاجُهُ مِن تَسْنِيم. So, you know, sometimes the angels will add to it special substance from tasneem. What is tasneem? عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ That's a special spring, water spring in Jannah for the superior believers, for the foremost. المقربين are the best class of Jannah, the people who have done the best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them. No matter how much we talk about Jannah is not enough. No matter how much we talk about Allah's mercy and what He has prepared for the dwellers of paradise, it is never enough. May the Almighty Allah show us mercy and make us all among the dwellers of paradise. It's time to take a short break. So inshallah, let's keep ourselves busy with istighfar until we return back in a few minutes. Please stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. My dear viewers, our phone numbers, as I'm talking, should appear on the bottom of your screen. So if you have any questions, dial any of the following four numbers. The first couple numbers are for WhatsApp calls only. Maradi from Gambia, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum, brother. How are you? Let's take another caller for the time being. Sister Saliha from India. Welcome to Huda TV, Saliha.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
May Allah bless you and entire Huda TV team and your family with happiness, success in your life of this dunya and hereafter.
Ameen. Same to you and your family, Sister Saliha. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your beautiful supplication. Do you have any questions?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After waking up from sleep, I don't wash hands nor rinse.
Sister Saliha, are you still on the line? Let's give her one more chance. Saliha, can you hear me? Type, Sister Saliha, please try again. I'm really interested in taking your question. Sister Amatullah from UK, welcome to Huda TV, Amatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Go ahead, Amatullah.
I just want to ask you a question. If it's a mother who wants to go to Umrah and her son is not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't pray, can he accompany the mother to go to Umrah?
Can he come to accompany his mother to the Umrah? Is this your question?
Yes, that's my question.
As a matter of fact, it is highly recommended that he should come. As long as he is still Muslim, you should take him with you. Because actually, the presence in the haram happens to be a turning point to a magnitude of people, to most people. So maybe when he arrives to Mecca and he's in a state of ihram and he does the manasik of Umrah, and he prays sincerely while performing tawaf, Allah will change his condition to the best. So I highly recommend that this mother should take with her the son who is not really behaving. And hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this journey of Umrah a turning point for him. Thank you. Amatullah from the UK. Assalamu alaikum. Saliha, continue your question, please, if you're back on the line. Saliha?
Hello. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Go ahead, ya Saliha. Continue your question.
Okay. After waking up from sleep, I don't wash hands nor rinse my nose. I directly perform 8 steps of wudu once and go to pray. Are my prayers are valid?
Yes, perfectly valid. The idea of washing your hands when you wake up and washing your face is mere sunnah. And if you're making wudu, it's already included in the wudu. Okay? Because what do you do in wudu? You begin by washing your hands and eventually rinsing your mouth, blowing your nose, and washing your face. So it's included in wudu. No need to repeat. Thank you, Saliha. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Malady from Gambia. Welcome to Huda TV. Malady.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Go ahead, Malady. What is your question?
My first question is, when I'm attending a lectures or tafsir of the Quran, I used to get some notes when they are in the verses. The Quran, writing them in my book. I mean, I want to ask whether it is permissible to write them in my book or not permissible.
Are you asking about the sessions for Tafsirul Quran? You're asking about something related to you personally in the classes of Tafsirul Quran?
When I'm attending the class of Tafsirul Quran, I also get some notes. So I'm asking, writing those verses of the Quran in my book, is it permissible or not?
You write those verses of the Quran on what?
In my book.
This is okay.
And I explain.
Okay. There is a difference between I'm taking a class of tafsir, so I write the verse and I write its tafsir in my notebook, in my spiral, separate paper. This is all permissible. But to write anything on the Quran itself, like the meaning of this word or the meaning of this ayah, don't do that. You don't write anything on the papers in which the Mus'haf is compiled, in order to maintain the word of Allah separate from your own writing or explanation. I hope that answers your question. Do you have another question?
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, my second question is,
Naam?
Fasting on Mondays and Thursdays. I mean, my second question is...
Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, my second question is, when fasting on Monday or Thursday? I used to fast on Monday, so I don't know whether I can fast on Thursday.
I believe you're asking about fasting on Monday and on Thursday. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. What about fasting on Thursday?
I missed to fast on Monday, so I don't know whether I can fast on Thursday.
Hey, you can do that. Look, somebody was planning to fast on Monday, then something happened. He skipped fasting. Can I make it on on Thursday? Absolutely. Actually, it suits me better to do it on Tuesday or Wednesday. No problem. It's all voluntary. As long as you avoid singling out Friday or Saturday with fasting. So it is okay. Barakallah feek. Thank you, Melody from Gambia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Umu Arqam from the UK. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Shaykh. How are you?
Umu Arqam, what is going on in the UK? A lot of protests and strikes. What is happening in the UK?
Well, it's mainly because the railway strikers and the nurses and doctors are having to strike because the government is just not paying them enough. So, to be honest, I don't blame them.
Is it the new prime minister or the entire government?
Sorry?
Is it about the new prime minister?
No, it's more to do with the government, because it's been ongoing with previous prime ministers, and it's to do with this particular party that have been in power for a few years now. And so obviously the cost of living is changing, but unfortunately the salaries of NHS staff and the salaries of doctors, nurses and railway staff has not been increasing enough to match or for them to survive with the increase in fuel bills and so on, really. So they have no choice but to strike, hoping that the government will listen to their demands.
They will. They will eventually listen and they will
their
yield.
Their working situations.
Yeah, they would have to listen and yield. I just hope and I pray that you guys are safe and secure. May Allah protect you there.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
So what is your question, Umm Arqam? Sorry for diverting your attention.
By then. Okay, my questions are relating to a hadith that you shared on Gardens of the Pious a few months ago now. So it was regarding, I think it was Umar radiallahu anhu who gave somebody a horse, and then he saw him in the market trying to sell it and wanted to buy it back. So basically my question with relating to the hadith and is that if you give somebody something, is it permissible to borrow it?
Okay, the incident of Umar al-Khattab, it was concerning granting something for sabilillah, then deciding to buy it back. So if you give anything as a charity, or voluntary, or a grant, do not even take it back, even if you pay for it. Khalas, it came out of you, and you willingly give it away for the sake of Allah. Do not keep your eye on it. Do not show any interest on it. Even if it is sold in the market, show no interest in it. Okay?
Okay. This,
but is it haram? No, it's not haram though. It is not forbidden. But it is, like, let me tell you this. When the Prophet ﷺ conquered Mecca, you and I know very well that years before the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ left Mecca. He was forced to leave Mecca. And then he took a last look on Mecca when he was on top of the mountains and he said, by Allah, you're the dearest city to Allah and you're the dearest city to me. Had it not been for the reason that your people forced me out, I wouldn't have left you. So we all know how much he loved Mecca. And then when he conquered Mecca, now he had a full control in Mecca. He could have stayed. But not only that, he did not stay. He used to shorten his prayer in Mecca, declaring that this is not my home. I'm a traveler here. And he ordered all his companions not to relocate. And that is the meaning of the ayah in Surah Muhammad, وَلَا تُبَطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Do not ruin a good deed which you've already done or a charity which you have given already. Do not take it back. If you give anything fi sabilillah, do not retrieve it back. Okay?
That brings me to my second question in relation to it. So I've given away lots of my children's toys and clothes to a relative, and she's now finished using them because her child is older. I mean, I had another child, but so she's going to give me some of her children's stuff. But it mixed with that, if she has given some of the stuff that I originally gave her, should I make sure that I give that back, or is it
okay because I'm not asking for it? No, no, not necessarily. Look, there is a huge difference. Somebody, you give somebody a car. You had a spare car. They used it. Khalas, they have no use for it. They bought a new one. They said, please take this. Can you take it to give it to somebody or to give it to your maid or somebody? No problem. Toys, strollers, which you saw that a neighbor or a friend or your sister needed when you don't need it anymore. So you gave it to them. They are finished with it and they offered you. They don't want it. You want to take it? There is a huge difference between you demanding it or attempting to buy it, or they finish with it. They don't want anything out of it anymore. So they will give it either to you or to somebody else. And these matters are of insignificant objects, like a stroller, a baby, a car seat, things of this nature. So it is okay. Okay, Umu Arqam?
My third question, Sheikh. I have a third question,
I'm afraid my answers suggest questions again.
No, this is a completely separate question, Sheikh.
Okay.
It's to do with inheritance.
Yeah.
So if a father has passed away without leaving a will, and the mother sells some of the land owned by the father, and then from the proceeds gives some of the money to one of the children and says it's a loan, but the child is now claiming that it was a gift. So there's a bit of disagreement as to whether it was a loan or a gift. Mm-hmm. So the mother is now saying, when I pass away from the inheritance, from his share of the inheritance, you can take that amount out.
What happened, sister Umu Arqam, that it was all the mother's fault from the beginning. And unfortunately, she's attempting to correct the mistake with another greater mistake. The first mistake was, when the father died, all what she has of the share of the inheritance is 1/8. And the rest is not hers. She's not allowed to touch it. So the rest should be divided among the heirs. But we have some minors. It should be kept as an amana, untouched. She doesn't have the right to sell, then to give whomever, whether one of the heirs of another person. And then she says, no, I meant to give it to you as a loan. Did you actually register that? Did you write a contract? Did you inform him? Did you video yourself when you're giving him the money and said, listen, this is a loan? Oh, hey, guess what? This is a part of your share of the inheritance. Because when we leave things open without specifying, it leads to confusions, discord, fighting, and chaos eventually. Look at Allah Almighty says in the longest ayah in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّا فَاكْتُبُوا. So Allah Almighty suggested that if you're going to give a loan, it should be recorded in writing. And then he also suggested, وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَهِيدَيْنِ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. Two witnesses should bear witness that I'm giving you this money as a loan and you should pay me back in a year or two or three based on the agreement. So things are crystal clear, no confusion. But now you give me 50 grains. And then a couple of years later, I said, where is my money? My money? Your money? What money? The money I gave you 2 years ago. I thought you gave it to me as a gift. You never mentioned that it's a grant or a debt, so I assume it's a grant. So this is where the confusion comes from. So now, in order to rectify the first mistake, she wants to rectify it with another major mistake, which is, when I die, deduct this from his inheritance. Guess what? When you die, you have no say in the inheritance. With regards to the shares of the heirs, you don't have any say. Even if you register that in the court, we're going to dismiss all of that. Allah says, your son will get that much and your daughter will get that much. This is what we're going to give. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا وصية لوارث. You don't have the right to give extra or deduct from one of the heirs. In your life, you decided to give everyone their shares, fine. And you can deduct that part because you've done that in your life. After you die, you do not actually possess anything, nor do you have any say. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to what is best. I only have one request. Brothers and sisters, why don't you, before you act, you ask? There are a lot of shuyukh in the UK, honorable, respected fuqaha and scholars. There are a lot of programs, whether on the social media, Huda TV, Islam Channel, Iman Channel, Peace TV, Guide Us. Many channels you can call the Sheikh for free. Are you paying anything to call me? No, we are paying to make it easy for you to learn for free. So why don't you, before you decide to make anything, call and ask? Not after you already fell or indulged into a major error, then you say, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? May Allah guide us to what is best. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allah, our God, is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best and give His best religion to them.
So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about it in paradise, worshipping cows, fire and stones, selling the best with the cheapest price.
So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about hell and paradise, worshipping cows, fire and stones, selling their best with the cheapest price.
Rasulullah.